Yes, g'day everyone. Tuesday, April 23, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And yes, as you heard in Jono's intro there, the man with the best cologne collection in the Southern Hemisphere, Phil Moss, is joining us this morning. How are you, Mossy?
I'm good, Middo. Morning, Loz. Davidoff Cool Water is the cologne of choice this morning, Loz.
Can smell him from here.
I thought it was from the
Well, that's
park.
Not difficult with my hooter. I can smell them from anywhere. Morning, Mossy.
Good to see you, mate.
Middo.
What's that? What's doing?
What's doing? Not a great deal.
Short week?
A short week. Looking forward to Anzac Day. I think it's
one of the best. If
not the best day of the year, when we remember all those that have fought for our wonderful country. Looking forward to the football on the weekend. Some good matches, in particular on Anzac Day, just the way that they do the whole occasion, how we celebrate our history and celebrate what the Anzacs have done for our country. So, yeah, in all sports, really looking forward to the weekend, looking forward to Thursday. We'll be down in Adelaide for the golf. Looking forward to seeing my first LIV golf tournament, seeing what happens on the course, Mossy.
That'll be good fun, Loz.
Mm.
Yeah. What, have you got an official capacity?
Well,
I'm
not a big golfer.
Mm.
No, not an official capacity. Just walking around having a bit of a geek.
That'll be awesome. Yeah. Well, I love my golf. I'm not great at it.
Mm.
Hit off about 13 at the moment, but I would love
to go
and see. Yeah, look, it's competitive.
Yeah.
But on a good day.
We saw it last year, and the crowds that turned up for that event were massive, and in particular at that party hole. And the scenes when, was it Kepta's brother?
Yes.
He hit the hole in one.
Mm.
Like when they just went off and they started throwing their...
Superb,
wasn't it? Yeah, I just wanted to be involved in that.
What would you have done, Loz?
I would have just jumped up and down and... Mm.
So uncalled for.
But would you have got rid of, you know, your beer?
Depends
you
how much I had left.
Yeah, it. Okay, right, fair enough.
If I just brought the shout, no.
No.
No, and I'd had one mouthful. Yeah. No, I wouldn't have been. But if I had a little bit of beer left in it, yeah, I would have.
How would you, but if you bought the round and you had like a few mates with you.
Well, that's counted as a round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and
they got rid of it. Well,
and they all threw it up in the air.
Well, I'd be just demanding a beer straight away, because I'd skull mine then and put.
It would hurt
on.
A little, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it would hurt a little if you just made the effort to go to the bar, bring back a shout, and they'll throw them up in the air.
Well, but just as long as you don't have to go.
Well,
back.
you're not throwing yours up. Well, I wouldn't throw mine up.
Not a chance.
I'd have a big skull or a sip.
I'd celebrate, but I'd put the beer down.
Yeah,
and then maybe jump.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not wasting beer over a golf show.
No, neither am I.
Well, lots of news to get through today. Just this text. Hey, boys, out walking around the town of Jericho in Queensland listening to you. Good on you, Steve.
Where's Jericho?
Jericho in Queensland, I believe, is a fair way in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it's out towards Longreach, direct west from Rockhampton.
Right.
So it's like Blackall, Longreach, that sort of area.
Well,
so
morning to you.
West of Emerald.
Who is it? Steve.
Steve.
From Jericho.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he might be. Him. Well, if he's up that way, a Bronco or a Cowboy? What are you tipping?
Well, you're more a Cowboy up there, aren't you?
You've got to remember, though, the Broncos were around first.
True. Let us know, Steve. But on the text line, 0419767272. Newcastle, obviously the big story, though, today. They were $26 to win the premiership after round one, coming, of course, off the back of their run at the end of last year into the finals. They're now $81 with Tab to win the premiership this year and into $8 in the most losses market. So they're on the fourth line of betting there. The Titans are very short, though. They're $1.55 to have the most losses this season. After the news yesterday that Kalyn Ponga has a Lisfranc injury after scans on his foot, so he's out for 3 months. Oh, Loz, I don't reckon we're going to see him for the rest of the year. And if we do, like, it's almost to the point, why? If you come back, say, there's 3-4 weeks left in the season?
Well, there's no point.
No point.
There's no point. If
unless
they
they're
aren't,
in finals contention.
Yeah, if they aren't going to play finals and Kalyn is, you know, ready to go with 3 or 4 weeks to go, I don't see the point in playing him. Why risk him? Give him that time to recover from his injury. But everyone is different with these type of injuries. I think it can be months, obviously, but it'll come down to how he recovers and how his body handles it all. But if he's back, you know, for a month, 5-6 weeks, well, you've got to play. But if it's only a couple of games, you wouldn't. But I think all Knight supporters would be pessimistic about their chances now because they made the finals last year on the back of Kalen. That's exactly what they did. But it gives them a greater opportunity now to explore a different style, the possibility of doing that, you know, not being reliant on him. Going away from, you know, playing the ball or playing for the set-up plays for Kalen. So I think that they get a greater opportunity now to work on a different style, become a harder and tougher football team, become a more competitive team rather than the flashy plays, just get out there and compete hard. They've still got enough talent in the squad, you know, but the focal point has always been Kalen. So it could work in their favour. I'm not saying they'll go from, you know, to win no games from here to the back end of the season. I think they're still capable of winning games of football. And you never know. You get a bit of confidence. And we speak about this comp this year being as tight as ever. You'll get upsets along the way. So all's not lost if you're a Newcastle supporter, but it just makes it a little bit tougher without your best player.
He is, though, like we spoke for years with the turbo thing at Manly and the percentage, the win percentage when he's not out. It's comparable, obviously, to the Knights without Kalen Ponga. But now I have more confidence in Manly to deal without Turbo than Newcastle without Kalen.
Yeah, but they've had to deal with it for a number of years. That's the issue. And they learn to play without him. Sometimes when you're playing with a superstar and he's not there and you become reliant on him, that's your focal point. Now, they've got enough time in the season to be able to work on a new style or a system. But it all comes back to competing. If they compete hard, they've still got enough talent. Like Bradman Best is a very good player. They're talking about young Armstrong coming into fullback. He's a really good player. You know, they've got a good forward pack, strong forward pack. And I think that's where they've got to start to look to play, not so much through the edges, but play a bit more through the middle and play to their strengths, which they've got now is their forward pack. And then if they do that, they can create that space and a bit of time on the edges for their halves. But look, I'm not here and I'm going to say that Newcastle won't win games because I think they will win games. But I think it'll be tough to win the amount of games they need to play finals because they're coming off the back fence now because they've only won a couple of games and they're quite a way back.
Origin Futures Series winner market didn't change. Queensland is still $1.80, the slightest of favourites to win the series. New South Wales, $2 with Tab off the back of the news.
They've got some injuries, though, Queensland. Queensland have got plenty of injuries to their forwards. I know if you look at it now, they'll still put a strong 17, and you never underestimate Queensland, but they're not as strong as what they were. And you can't be without Tino. And you can't be... Like, if Reece Walsh gets injured, you know, we were talking about the possibility of how do you fit Ponga and Walsh in, and that's why you never sort of write in your team 7 weeks out from an Origin game, because you just don't know who's available. But, you know, if something happened to Reece Walsh, you know, I know we talk about how great the fullback stocks are in the NRL, but they're two massive players for Queensland, and it's always good to have someone sitting there, isn't there? A superstar sitting there that can't get a run and twofold. One, if you get an injury to Reece Walsh, but also Reece Walsh then knows he's got to play to a certain standard. Otherwise, I mightn't be in the team. It's interesting. Yeah, I know last year was completely different. Reece got his opportunity and grabbed it with both hands, and he's a wonderful player. But it's also a bit of a safety blanket to have, knowing. And I know Kalen wasn't there last year and he didn't make himself available, but still nice to know if both those players are available. You can pick two together or just go with Reece and have the other one waiting there in the wings if you need him.
Gee, it was only a week ago we were talking about how they were going to fit them in, weren't we, Mossy?
Yeah, amazing. A week in football, in any sport, really. But did you sense any sympathy in Loz just before when he was talking about all the injuries that Queensland have? And
not really.
I didn't sense anything. I sensed some wishful thinking, if anything.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident. I know I'm always confident.
Yeah.
But I am. Yeah.
Never confident.
I just think Turno's a massive loss for Queensland.
Yeah, he is.
I think, and Tom Gilbert. Although they do get Jai Arrow back this weekend, there's some talk that he'll make a return for South Sydney after the break. They're playing Melbourne on Anzac Day, which will be another wonderful contest. I see Cookie is about to be named in the squad too, so that's good for him. Good for South to have a couple of experienced players back. But yeah, no, I think it'll be another. Yeah, great Origin series. They're always great, no matter who is playing. But I certainly think that New South Wales under Madge will be a lot stronger, tougher. It'll be interesting to see who he selects, because I think it'll have a distinct different look about it. I think it'll be a different look to what we've seen the last few years.
I believe I was talking to someone in the know the other week. I've got two people in my life in the know when it comes to rugby league, Loz and one other, who I won't name, but he reckons that Madge is like custom made for Origin as a coach. Like the skills that he's got, the skill set, the way he coaches is well suited.
Yeah, I think he's well suited to any form of the game. But obviously working with the Kiwi side over the last couple of years has given him a good indication of how you work with a group of players in a short period of time and how to get the best out in them. And I think it's also an advantage when you first start, because you've got no an alignment with any particular group or particular player. So you can sit back, watch it all unfold, and then go with who you want and what your expectation of them are. You actually can guide them and say, these are my principles, this is what I'm looking for. You show me that you want to be a part of this team. Sometimes, and you know as a coach, when you've coached players, you get a greater understanding of them, you build a relationship with them. Sometimes it's always harder to move those players on, whereas it's always easier, I think, when you first start to bring your own together and develop together rather than inheriting what other people have put there for you.
Now, those listening in Outback Queensland, Steve says he's a mighty Manly fan, he says. Manly. And he's from Woi Woi and he's travelling in a caravan.
Oh, there you go.
So good on you, Steve. And this one from Jared. Hey, boys, I'm even further out than Steve. I'm in between Cloncurry and Mount Isa in a lead mine. So that is proper Outback as well out there. It's way over near the territory border, Loz. Well, I'm sure the territory border is still probably a few hundred k's away, but way out over.
Working in the mines.
Working in the mines. So there.
Good
you go.
On you. Good Thanks on for you, listening. Jared.
And naturally, lots of Kalyn Pogger on the back pages of the paper. Courier Mail in Queensland have taken the Origin angle. State of shock. Foot injury rules Pogger out of Origin series. And there it is, back page of the Herald. Night terror. Ponga injury, a hit for Maroons. On the back page of the Daily Telegraph in Sydney, though, read it and weep. Charge Angers dogs. Melee fallout. So the tunnel incident and the incident on the field. So Knights forward Jack Hetherington accepted a one-match ban for contrary conduct in that square-off with Reed Marnie in the tunnel. Now, Marnie was also charged and will be fined. The dogs say, you know, it's over the top because the NRL pains to say Marnie's charge comes from what happened on the field rather than what happened in the tunnel when he was essentially just shoved by Hetherington. Oh, I think the whole thing's a bit of an overreaction, Loz. Is it really worth a week for Jack Hetherington?
Look,
is that really worth a week?
Well, I said yesterday I didn't think it was. Now, reflecting on those comments, you probably look at it and go, you can't do that in the tunnel. You can't have that contact with the opposition player. I still thought it was and the more I keep watching it, Jack, obviously it's a brain explosion, but I thought he was mucking around. But then you see the reaction of Reed, and Reed's sort of a bit shocked by it. So I understand why he's been charged, and I would have been happy for a fine, but 1 week, yeah, I suppose, you know, they've got to set a standard. But I'm shaking my head still about what happened with Reid on the field and why he was charged.
Mm.
I think we see that a lot.
Yeah, very, very little. I don't get that either.
No.
Phil Gould, just on Hetherington on 100% footy last night, said that, you know, he knows Jack Hetherington quite well and said he's 100% mucking around. He said he's a bit mad, different. He said, from what he knows of Jack Hetherington, which he said I know him quite well in his words.
Well, that's what I thought.
He thought he was mucking around.
Well, I saw the smile on his face.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if Jack wanted to, if Jack really wanted to, if he was serious, Reid wouldn't have been standing up.
No. I don't think many would against Hetherington.
No. No. And I know Jack through his father, and I've known Jack since he was a young boy. If he really wanted to do some damage, he would have done some damage. So I'm a bit the same. I thought it was just a muck around. I thought there might have been a connection there. But obviously they've fined him. They're going to give him a week suspension. So, look, I'll accept that. But I thought it might have been just a money fine.
And it's on the back page of the Herald as well. Hetherington lucky ban wasn't longer, warns NRL. So read the Riot Act in a way there. As well there yesterday. Also on the back page of the Courier Mail, why Walsh will be NRL's first $2 million man. And, 2 million plus, I reckon, when you think the amount of endorsements, etc., he can collect in time. Marketing magic, isn't it, Bruce Walsh?
I think that's the key, isn't it? Like, he's obviously worth what he's worth on the pitch, but off the pitch, he's very marketable. And he knows the role he's got, and he knows how to play it from what I see on camera, rocking up to games, the way he rocked up to the grand final, sunnies on, and all style.
Oh, maybe E.T. levels loss.
Well, I'll tell you this about E.T. I'll tell you this about E.T. So E.T. was a genius on the field. But one thing that he doesn't get enough credit for is how tough he was. Andrew Enninghausen was as tough as anyone that's ever played the game. Because everyone wanted to give it to him, and everyone just thought he was this pretty-faced young footballer that had a bit of talent, but we'll give it to him and we'll see how good he is. Well, he handled everything thrown at him. And he was also able to produce on the field and off the field with endorsements. He was such a gentleman and was a guy that promoted things as well as anyone. And to play with him was exceptional, because I think that what he had to put up with, you know, and people sledging him and coming after him.
And it would have been back then.
Oh, mate, back then. He would have copped a lot.
Oh,
mate, who's this pretty boy? Who does he think he is? And everyone wanted to get a piece of him or have a piece of him. But he didn't shy away. Not that he was a fighter or a reactor to things that happened to him, but I saw people try and do some really nasty things to him. But just kept going. Got up, played the ball, moved on. Wonderful player.
Also back page of the telly, famous rugby names in rebel plot to oust RA board. It's on the back page of the Australian as well. Ignored power brokers petitioning for support to oust Rugby Australia's board. This is exactly what rugby needs at the moment, just more instability. I mean, for goodness sake. And I'm sure people are aggrieved. I'm sure there were things put in place under the previous regime, under Hamish McLennan, etc., and the previous CEO. Well, bad luck. I mean, we've got a new regime in. There's been huge turmoil in the game. Just give them some clear air, for goodness sake. Let Phil Waugh and his team do their job.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, you know, sometimes it feels like with some of these boards, it feels like the local golf club or your local RSL when you've got some disgruntled people trying to get on the board. Just, I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, rugby doesn't need this right now. Last thing they need.
You got two choices. Like, you can be part of the solution, or you can stay on the outside and throw rocks at the place. And if you're on the outside, you can still be part of the solution. But I just feel like rugby union, first and foremost, I think they killed the game with far too many laws of the game on the field. It's hard to watch. And I used to love my rugby union. But I remember speaking to Rod McQueen once at a luncheon. And this is going back quite a few years now, probably 10 or so years. And I said, what's going on with your game? And I don't want to put words in Rod's mouth, so I won't quote him. But certainly the the theme of the conversation was around we're killing ourselves because it's two stop start. The referee becomes more of a star than the players. That's on the field. Off the field, like Phil, I had a fair bit to do with Phil Waugh at NAB as a leader. He's a fantastic leader. He knows the game inside and out. He's captained his country. He's got corporate experience. He's got board experience. Like if you'd have to mount a pretty firm argument to me that there's someone better placed to lead the game out of the mire that it's in at the moment. So people just need to get behind him.
And the board, for that matter.
And the board, of course.
Yeah.
I know this is about the board, not so much the senior management, but if the board goes, you can bet your bottom bottom dollar, the senior management will be changed again.
Well, they've got an AGM next Monday, so apparently this group wants to ensure that the board's thrown out at the AGM next Monday. I mean, seriously. The Wallaroos, by the way, just got a six-year deal with Cadbury, who are also sponsoring the men's, the Wallabies. Yesterday, so there's a little bit of progress. And on the text line, Turtle says, "Middo, Anzac Day, Manly Oval." And you know a bit about this, Mossy being a Northern Beaches person. Local derby, Marlins versus, as he puts it, Turtle, the scum Warringah Rats. If you want a great day, get down there. The women starting 9 a.m, four grades with first grade kicking off 3 p.m. Both teams flying, will be a ripper day. And that is always, I've been to one of those derbies before. And they're great crowds always, aren't they?
The Turtle. So the Turtle wrote that in.
Yep.
Well, the great Turtle, Damien Cummins, used to captain Manly.
Yes.
I wonder. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Great to have Phil Moss in with us this morning. And we've got pressing matters coming up shortly. Just beforehand, Mossy, we have an A-League Premier's plate to sort out. The Central Coast Mariners have to make up a game, and this weekend's the last weekend of the season.
Yes.
They found a solution. I still see on the A-League's website, it just says TBC, the match against Adelaide, their catch-up game.
Yeah, well, it can't be played until after this weekend because the Mariners play the return leg of their AFC Cup, zonal final. So that's on Wednesday night in Gosford. And then, of course, this weekend, they play against Newcastle in the F3 Derby in Newcastle on Saturday. So the earliest you would imagine that game can be played is probably next Tuesday night, but all the last round games will have taken place this weekend. Wellington, as it stands, hold a 1-point advantage over Central Coast in top spot. Obviously, the Mariners that game in hand. So how it plays out this weekend, what that does to the psyche of the Mariners players this weekend and Wellington, time will tell.
But with the top six format, the Mariners would have the following weekend off anyway, wouldn't they?
Correct.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
Yeah.
They won't be complaining too much about extra time for the opposition to, I don't know, well, Wellington having more. Well, they won't be playing Wellington, of course, will they?
No, that's right.
So all should be sweet. All right. Just before we get on to pressing matters, actually, just wanted to mention the Giants. So the club's set to challenge the 1 week suspensions given to Toby Green and Jesse Hogan at the tribunal tonight. Green collected Carlton's Jordan Boyd in a marking contest. Even Essendon coach Brad Scott has defended Green and also defended the players generally and how the AFL penalises players based on outcomes rather than actions. I saw Jonathan Brown on Fox Footy last night as well. Basically says the game turning into Gaelic football and, understanding that where the issue with concussion is, but it's a contact sport and players got to be allowed to commit to a contest. So, and 100% agree with you. But
well, we saw that a couple of weeks ago, though, with Peter Wright from the Essendon Football Club. The outcome was he knocked out a Sydney Swans player.
Yeah, it was Harry Cunningham.
And I think he got 4 weeks for that action. Toby did a similar action. And made contact to the head.
But the player didn't get injured. He got up.
Yeah.
So that was the difference.
The difference is that he's only facing a week, whereas Wright got 4 weeks because the fact that he got knocked out. So they do take that into consideration, the injury of the player. But the action, to my eye, was he was going for a mark and then realised at the last moment, because the other bike's coming back towards the ball, you're going towards the ball, and you realise you're going to have an impact and a collision, so you can't get there, so you brace. Mm. That's how I saw it. I thought it was a football act. I think last year, that wouldn't have been charged, or they possibly, the possibility of a fine may have occurred. But this year, I think they're cracking down hard on any sort of contact to the head, and this is where all sports are heading. Most contact sports will be going down this path to try and make it safer. I'm unsure of what they're supposed to do, though, because you're telling your player to go for the ball. So I don't know, and I think Brad Scott and I think Adam Kingsley would be asking, what do I tell my player? In this situation, when someone's travelling back towards the ball, the opposition is coming back towards the ball, I'm going towards the ball and we're both going to compete for a mark, what are we supposed to do? So their reaction would be, if I can't get there, I have to brace. But I reckon the AFL would be telling them, you know what, you've just got to continue to go for it.
Gosh, and Jesse Hogan, I just saw his little sort of, it's a love tap at best, honestly. We just suspend players for nothing these days. And how long until Heading gets banned from football as well, Mossy?
That's already strong talk about it.
No. Let's just change everything. All right, Pressing Matters is next.
At the end of the day, it's up to the panel to decide what the outcome will be.
That is not acceptable as a professional athlete these days.
You can't assume that that is the way of the world now.
I've just seen too many times recently where he's just been hit.
We just don't have that sort of foot on the throat where we really just put teams away.
He looked twice the player when Ponga's on the field as well. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, time now for Pressing Matters.
Okay, Pressing Matters on a Tuesday, and the big news yesterday that Caelan Ponga is out for, well, at least 3 months, possibly longer. And here's Adam O'Brien having a chat about, I guess, his team's struggle with expectations this season.
We're playing like a frustrated footy team. You're looking at some of the teams, and the Bulldogs are a good example. Dragons are a good example of not having great seasons last year, and they're loving footy at the moment and loving being in the grind and going after stuff, so because that level of expectation's not there. Well, we're not enjoying it at the moment because the expectation is we played well last year, so we've got to get back to finding our love of the game, and in particular certain parts of it, and start seeing that as fun about as much as what some of the teams that are doing at the moment up the top end of the ladder.
Yeah, that was post the loss to the Bulldogs on Sunday. Interesting comments. We got to refind our love of the game. And you'd think they would have came in loving the game after what they did at the back end of last year. But new season and new results, even with Caelan Ponga, now they're without him. Just want to put this to bed firstly, Loz. Adam O'Brien's been heavily criticised for allowing Ponga to play on the weekend with the hip pointer injury that he had the week before. Some people suggesting he was hobbling on the field at the start of the game, was really struggling in the warm-up as well. I mean, your medical staff, you get together and you make a decision. Your players obviously involved in that there. But, I mean, we've seen a lot of players play injured. So should Caelan Ponga have played in the first place?
Oh, hindsight's always wonderful when you look back on it. But Caelan would have been consulted on it. There's no doubt that they would have said, what do you think? Do you reckon you can get through this game? It's an important game for us. And the outcome is you're not going to do any more serious damage. So Caelan probably would have thought, well, I'm the captain of this club. I've got to show what this group is looking for, and that's to be tenacious. It's being tough. It's to push through injury. And as a leader, I'm going to show those actions today. So that would have been him, and that would have been the discussions that with the medical staff. So I've got no issue with the hip pointer going out there and playing. Then as the game unfolds and you start to watch him, that's when it's a concern as a coach, because you know that he can't do the job as good as what you would have liked. So then you come back to, well, have I made the right decision here? Or two, when did he pick up that foot injury and it was just a freakish thing that's happened on top of the hip pointer? He's picked up that Liz Frank injury. He might have picked it up after 10 minutes, and that's why he was struggling for the rest of that first half. So I'd like to actually know when he did it, but I've got no issue with a player or the coach having those discussions about, you know what, I think I can get through this, and you're a senior player, putting it in your hands.
You do, as a coach, you do trust your senior players and the, their knowledge of their own body, because they've done the miles. They've got miles in their legs. They've had the experiences. I must admit, watching Ponga pull up the week before with the hip injury on the pitch, I'm looking at him going, like, I could feel the injury myself. I had some hip issues myself, and I'm thinking, that looks to me like it'll be at least a couple of weeks, and not necessarily from being re-injuring it or anything, but once you hit fatigue, you know what it's like, Loz, you're coming back from an injury, once you fatigue that area of your body, like, you're more susceptible to either losing power, re-injuring. I'm sure the medical staff said he's not playing if he can re-injure it or make it worse, but he would have lost power.
But I look at like the week before's game. He struggled up until half time. Was it the Roosters they played?
Yeah.
And then in the second half,
he had his
moments where he was struggling, but he injected himself into the game and was still able to make a difference, and nearly won them the game at the end. So I reckon that they've sat down, they've spoken about it. Well, we'll get needled. You can go out there and play. You'll play in discomfort, but we'll need you. And if you think you can get through and handle the pain, we're happy enough to take that risk on the back of what they did the previous week.
Yeah, I
reckon that would have been the way that the discussion went.
So Newcastle now. Names thrown up, and we'll see their team sheet naturally later this afternoon. But Dane Gagai's thrown into the mix to play fullback. English recruit Will Price. New South Wales Cup player David Armstrong as well in the mix. He's from Mungindi, which is right on the New South Wales-Queensland border, way out towards Lightning Ridge. David Armstrong. Wonder what Adam O'Brien does here, Loz, as far as the number one jersey.
Well, it sounds like he's got some options, but one thing I would consider is, do you move a player from one position to try and strengthen one and weaken another? So, and I'm talking about Dane Gagai there. And Gagai's coming off a calf injury. So I don't know whether he would have the K's in his legs to play fullback. So if it's me, I'm going with the guy that's playing fullback regularly. And if that's David Armstrong, well, again, I haven't seen enough of David Armstrong to give you a strong opinion. I've seen little bits and pieces of him, and I've heard plenty of people talk about him. And I think we've been text message on this show a number of times about Armstrong. So I'd be prepared to give him a go, because I think you need someone that's fit, someone that's fast, and someone that's really able to inject themselves into the game. And I know he hasn't played a lot of NRL experience. NRL football, but I'd be sort of leaning down that path. Someone that's played in that position, someone that's fast, someone that's got the K's in their legs, and give them an opportunity.
On the text line, just some Knights texts. Morning, boys. Well, now that Kalyn Ponga is out, we will see just how good of a coach Adam O'Brien is. I'm guessing they won't win many games because they lose the ruck speed every week and get stuck into the front rowers, does Ben on that text message as well. Loz, the last 2 weeks, the Knights have really missed Frizzell and Gagai. The other thing, okay, no, not so really that one.
One thing about last weekend's game, when they played the Bulldogs, when Patolo went off for the Dogs, I thought the Bulldogs were going to get exposed in the middle, because they had at times like three really small forwards on the field. And I reckon one of the strengths of Newcastle is their forward pack. And in fact, Phoenix Crossland, when he played in the back row, he was the one that was making some good yardage through the middle. And I just thought they should have centralised their attack a bit more. And I'm just wondering now, without Ponga, that's what they should be doing. Just pouring through the middle, because that's where their strength will be. You know, you've got the Saifidi brothers, you've got Adam Elliott, you know, you've got Frizzell when he comes back. Their forward pack is still very strong. So I'd be looking to simplify it and just go, boys, we need to gain momentum through the middle, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to get a bit of ruck speed. Once we get that ruck speed, then we can look to go to the shape on the edges. But until we do that, we're going to play a very basic game. If we get no ruck speed, let's get to a kick, let's put some pressure on them down their end of the field. And let's work really hard early in the tackle counts to see whether we can force an error, can press up in defence, whatever you come up with, but just keep it really simple and build off the back of good momentum through the middle.
More text here. As a Knights fan, I'm disappointed that he did play. That's Ponga. Everybody knew he was injured. Adam O'Brien's not the answer in coaching the Knights. There are serious questions about the way the club is being run, says Tony. Hey, lads, David Armstrong hopefully comes in for Ponga. He is like a Pappenhausen-style player, very fast and skillful. Mungindai, sorry. I pronounced it wrong. I think I said Mungindi. Mungindai. Apologies. Thank you for the phonetics on that one. And g'day to also someone, is it Gove or Gov in the Northern Territory?
Thank Gove, you. Isn't it? Gove.
Thank you, Nick, for sending in to where you are there in the NT.
Is it Gove?
I'm not 100% sure, but I'll be correct, and I know that.
Mossy, help me out.
Middo's confidence.
He's rattled.
He's confident.
Just have a stab. Just go with it.
Look, it's early.
Pick and stick, mate. Pick and stick.
Okay, let's have a listen now to Ariane Titmus, Olympic gold medalist, on, well, this situation where Chinese swimmers were not provisionally suspended after testing positive leading into the Tokyo Games and then cleared. It was all covered up, and it's come out now, courtesy of the media. Unbelievable. Here's Ariane Titmus.
If that is the case, I mean, I'd end up with two gold, two silver. Wouldn't have the full set anymore. But at the end of the day, I think we'll wait to hear the details and hear more about it. I think it's still quite raw. But, you know, every time you race, you just hope you're racing people that are in the same boat as you and they've worked as hard as they can to get to that position in a fair manner. And so I hope it's like that in Paris as well.
That audio courtesy of Channel 9 and Mac Horton has come out as well, naturally, and he took the stand with Sun Yang when he got off the podium, when they shared the podium as well in a couple of their events. And you do wonder, it's going to be one to watch at the Games in Paris. Well, it could be interesting when Chinese swimmers win gold medals, particularly if some of these Chinese swimmers, you know, their names who tested positive come out and they win a medal. Particularly if it's gold, and what the other athletes will do. Because this is, this, I mean, could this have a bigger stench?
No, I don't think so. Like, as an athlete, particularly in Olympic year, you want to look forward. And the timing of this coming out as well, like, because you want to put the past in the past. But ultimately, like as Ariane said then, you want to be lining up on the blocks knowing that the other athletes have done just, you know, normal, honest, hard work to be where they are against you. And then you find out something like this. I mean, this is a stain on world sport in any code. Like, it's shocking. Absolutely shocking.
But, you know, I know you can't trust nations when they're doing their drug tests. Certain nations. Because you just don't know what is happening in their countries. But one thing we've come to learn or expect is WADA, the World Anti-Doping Association, to do it correctly and to have no cover-ups and be transparent with everyone. That's what you hope, and that's where you build trust in these organisations for big events and all events around the world. Mm. It sounds like they are the ones that are hiding it. China's not hiding it.
No. Yeah, they have not. Well, they should now publicly reveal what's happened.
Yeah.
So they should make the information public.
That we should be looking at now.
Without a doubt. Yeah. They've just covered it up.
Well, that's what it looks like.
And they're the World Anti-Doping Authority.
Mate, they are in charge of it.
Every athlete relies on to ensure that competitions are clean.
That's where I have the issue now. Because I'm seeing them as the body that overrides everyone and looks into things that are happening. And if you're doping, then you're going to get found out and we'll call you out. On this occasion, they've just sort of gone, this is in the too hard basket. We'll turn a blind eye here and we'll move on. No one needs to know. I find that disturbing.
Okay, some football. Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag. It's been a season, but they are in the FA Cup final. Just. And here's what he had to say on the reactions of United fans after their, well, escape against Coventry City on penalties in the semi-final at Wembley.
No, I don't. I can't see that word. Because in the end of the day, it's about the achievement. And yeah, I see the mistakes we make. We can't look away from it. but it's not an embarrassment. It's, as I say, it's a huge achievement. So even the big team from United, from a decade ago, they only achieved the final three times. We now two times in 2 years. So that's a good performance.
I suppose the coach has always got to take the glass half full approach, don't you, Mossy?
Yeah, but you also can't treat your supporters like mugs. I mean, at the end of the day, they were 3-0 up and they allowed a team that is a long way behind them in the pecking order to come back to 3-3. And I'm not just talking about in their own competition. I'm talking about leagues below them. I just think you've got to be honest, you know. And I don't think Ten Hag is... I'm not a fan. I don't think... Look, and I don't want to make this personal against Ten Hag at all. I don't know the guy from Bar of Soap, right? But I'm just talking about the fit for Manchester United. Mm. I think the manager of a Manchester United has to have charisma as well as, you know, the ability to coach, et cetera, et cetera. But I watched some of that stuff yesterday morning and I thought this sums up their season. And it sums up the poor quality of their squad. Like they have got some poor players for a club like Manchester United. Let's give it relevance and where they should be in world football. They have got poor players playing for that club, and I think Ten Hag is, you know, his last line there about the performance. He's letting a result achieving FA Cup final status against Manchester City. He's letting a result mask what the bigger issues are. And it's not just the quality of the players, it's the culture of the place, it's everything that goes with it. So, yeah, how would I answer those questions in Ten Hag's seat? I don't know, because I've never been there. It's, you know, the white-hot heat of the A-League is very different to the white-hot heat of the Premier League and the FA Cup semi-finals. But, I just think there's some big, big issues there.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. And, the PGA, the RBC Heritage was concluded on Monday in the States, so in the early hours of this morning after the weather there in Carolina delayed the final round. And guess who? Scottie Scheffler made it 4 wins in 5 tournament starts, including, of course, the Masters last week, and now he's won the RBC Heritage. He closed with a 3-under-68, finished 19 under par, 3 shots ahead of his nearest competitor, Sahith Theegala, who was 16 under. Best of the Aussies, Jason Day, who finished 9 under par for the tournament after closing with a 5-under-66. So he was tied for 18th and 10 shots off the pace. And yesterday, Nelly Korda, she won her 5th straight tournament and her 2nd major. She had a 2-stroke victory, the American, in the Chevron Championship. And the last player in the women's game to win 5 straight was Annika Sorenstam back in 2004-05. Just the NBA today, the playoffs continue. And yesterday, by the way, all the home teams started. Well, in fact, all the games were fizzers, really, except for the one yesterday where Josh Giddey's Oklahoma City Thunder eked out a 2-point win over the New Orleans Pelicans. Damian Lillard, your man, Loz, absolutely on fire. No Giannis for Milwaukee. Lillard scores 35 points in the first half yesterday. 35 and a half.
Well, you got some respect then.
Got some respect
just
on his name.
Just talking of Josh Giddey, I switched it on a number of times yesterday, that game. Did he not get... Was he injured? I didn't see him on the court. I saw him on the sideline, but I didn't see him on the court.
His minutes can vary. I wasn't watching much of the game like you. I flicked it on a couple of times, but...
I didn't see him on the court, that's all. I saw him sitting on the bench... And I was just wondering whether he's injured or whether they were just not playing him in that game for whatever reason.
There have been points this season where his minutes have been considerably down on last season.
Yep.
And yesterday, what did he play? He played 20 minutes. So, yeah, he didn't play much. 20 minutes, 2 points, only shot 1 from 6. And had 3 rebounds, 3 assists.
Yeah, because every time... Because I wanted to see how he was going. So I was watching and then got up and had to do some things and come back, put it on. And, I didn't see him on there. So I thought he must have been injured.
Yeah. Perhaps. Today.
Lakers play today. They got beaten. a couple of days ago.
By Denver. And, well, Jared Duffy is going to join us shortly and he'll give us some markets on these games. But he also reliably has informed me that in the Northern Territory, it's Gove for that person who texted in. Yep. Thank you. And Mungindi. G'day to everyone in Mungindi this morning as well. Just got to get it right, Mossy.
You do, mate.
Get in trouble. Now, also, the fallout from the Oli Roos, Mossy. So we failed there at the under-23 Asian Cup, so we're not going to be at Paris. I guess the Asian countries, even the small ones, their investment is significant in the game at the moment. So, you know, we're not just going to walk through Asia at any level. We need to keep that investment to keep up, don't we?
We do, and I've seen some commentary that, you know, everyone in Australian football, local commentary from journalists, from some journalists, that says that everyone in Australian football says that Asian football is going ahead in leaps and bounds, leaving us behind only when we lose in Asia. Well, that's not the case. That's right. Not the fact. We're always saying how much they're investing in Asia. And I think, you know, I feel for Tony Vidmar a little bit because it wasn't in a FIFA window. So all those overseas-based players were made unavailable by their clubs. Obviously, there's the Erin Kunda situation. That's different to clubs standing in the way because Adelaide certainly would have released him. When you play outside of FIFA window, we don't have the depth at under-23 level. Some would argue we don't have the depth at Socceroo level either to have players, carte blanche, who are based overseas, not made available, not allowed to go and represent their country. So, yeah, Tony Vidmar was always up against it. But I still think we had enough quality to go there and get out of our group and score a goal at least, and we didn't do either. So that's where the Inquisition will probably focus.
Just some more questions on the text line here for Loz. Is Matt Burton in the frame for the vacant number six position? Burton, good kicking game, good running game, defends well, played Origin before, and one with that combination with Nathan Cleary. No name to that one, but
He'd have to be in the frame.
Frame for 5'8", though, yep. For New South Wales?
Yep, well, tell me who the standout is.
Well,
Tell me who the standout is.
Up for grabs.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah. So you've got, what, Mitch Moses, you've got Jerome Luai, you've got possibly Nicho Hynes, you've got a Matt Burton. They're just four off the top of my head. So, of course, you'd have to be considered because I think he's playing good footy. I think he's playing good football with Cleary, dominating on the ball, left foot kick, plays left side of the field. I think he would be an option. Yeah, most definitely. Because I don't see a standout there at the moment. I think we will see over the next 4 or 5 weeks, hopefully someone puts their hand up and says, pick me. But I don't see a standout 5'8" choice there at the moment. Because whichever way they go, Cody Walker's another one. You know, Cody hasn't played well. Let's see what he does in the next few weeks as well. You know, he could shoot the lights out and all of a sudden he's back in the frame after what he did in game 3 last year. You know, do you take a risk on a halfback like a Mitch Moses or a Nicho Hynes to play 6? Do you go with a combination of Jerome Luai that they have at Penrith? Or do you give Matt Burton an opportunity? So that's something that Madge will have to think about. But I reckon the next few weeks are so important for all those players.
Big time. All right. Fresh from the Gove Peninsula, Jared Duffy. Good morning, Jared. How are you, mate?
Morning, boys. I'm good. Thanks, Mido.
Thanks for clearing up that for me as well.
Yeah.
The brain, you know, not going too fast this morning. But let's get some markets off you. The Warriors and the Titans. So Anzac round and Anzac Day, of course, the Roosters and the Dragons and Melbourne and the Bunnies as well. So how are Tab punters playing these games early doors?
Well, there's a little bit of money for the first two outsiders. The Warriors are $1.26, the Gold Coast $3.90. That plus 12.5 for the Titans is gone. It's into 11.5 points. And in the second match, they're quite popular, the Dragons, 270 into 245 already. The Roosters out to $1.55. That line has come in a point as well, 5.5 into 4.5. And in the final match, no real movement, but looks like punters are anchoring the Storm to beat South. Melbourne, $1.24, South $4.10, and that line a monstrous 13.5. I guess if you had had a look at this, and you don't do it, but before round one, there probably wouldn't have been much in the market, Melbourne v South.
No. That'll be an interesting sort of contest because South are coming off the bye and, you know, they've had a week to regroup and they've been out of the headlines. So,
And Melbourne have been a little bit fortunate in a couple of those wins.
Yeah. I give South a bit of a hope in this game. I don't know whether we still do it, Daff, or we have got it for the Titans, but have we got a market for the Titans' next loss? Next win, sorry.
I don't know whether that's been updated. We had one for both.
And I don't know what their draw is either.
Yeah, the first win for both Souths and the Titans. I'm just looking now. I can't see.
Yeah, you go under NRL Futures.
What is it?
And then it's under next win. Okay. Oh, that's South's next win. They're there. Actually, the Titans one I can't see. Titans is under first win, sorry.
Yeah, their first win.
First win, first Titans. Win. Next win, Souths.
First win. Who they got? Have they got a draw, or they've just got the price?
Well, look, I can tell you the Gold Coast to run last, no wins. So, obviously, that would be to run last, $3.50. So, that's short. You'd think they'd get away with one of those.
I think they've been playing better football the last couple of weeks. Yeah. I think they've got a couple of tough games coming up because they've got the Warriors away. Pretty sure they've got Melbourne. Who else have they got after
that? Then
they've
got North Queensland, which is paying $5.25. Maybe that's the bet at this stage. Then they've got Newcastle, $4.25. And then round 12, Brisbane, $9. I can't believe they're $3.50 for no win. Oh, and that's no wins through round 12, sorry. Not for the rest of the season, through round 12.
They'll be winning games. They'll be winning a couple of games. What about the AFL? Oh, that kicks off tomorrow night, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So Wednesday night, this has been around a few years, this match. They packed the MCG out. Richmond, $5 outsiders. Melbourne, $1.17, a line of 28.5. Historically, it's been Essendon, Collingwood, and that was it. But we've got a second game, GWS and Brisbane. Essendon have been a drifter, 250 out to 270. Looks like people think Collingwood are back, $1.52 into $1.47. That line, 13.5 points. And the Giants and Brisbane, well, we wait and see what happens at the tribunal there. That one's $1.90, take your pick. Obviously, the Giants can ill afford to be without Toby Green or Jesse Hogan. They've been a small drifter in the premiership market. Gee, this is wide open. GWS is $6. We did put up $7 yesterday, Sydney. That's gone. They're into $6.50 at $7. Carlton and the undefeated Geelong, Melbourne and Collingwood at $8. Port Adelaide, Brisbane $11, in right out to $34 or better for the rest.
Now, Taff, I know you're a mad Carlton man, aren't you?
I'm a Carlton man. I don't know whether I'm mad.
Right, but a Carlton man. And yes. You know how they always say that Collingwood have the biggest and best supporters? I get the fact that there would have been not many GWS supporters there at the ground the other day when they took on Carlton. But just by watching it, because I was watching a bit of it, the atmosphere that was coming through the television and the noise was incredible.
Yeah. Well, Carlton haven't had too many opportunities over the past decade or so to, well, probably longer. Once or twice they've made the finals, but they haven't been the force that they look like they're going to be this year. They've had some big wins. So I get that. But having said that, I mean, I know the GWS, it's still really in its infancy, that club, and you wouldn't expect them to have too many followers in Melbourne.
No.
Unless they're following a player that's gone there from somewhere else. But at the moment, I know they lost the other night, but I think they're the benchmark of the competition.
Yeah. But it'd be a red-hot atmosphere, wouldn't it, if you had a Collingwood-Carlton
grand final?
Grand final, mate.
How good would that be if Carlton win by a point?
Morning,
last
Daff.
Kick of the game.
Daff Mossy here, mate.
Now, hello, Mossy.
How are you, buddy? Just for the record, boys, I follow Daff every Sunday morning with my segment after his segment on a Sunday morning. I always feel like I enter my segment more educated, and it's not to do with Daff's odds or anything like that. It's his pearls of wisdom. So Daff, at the end of this segment, I'm expecting one from you, but before we go there, Arsenal Chelsea London Derby tomorrow at the Emirates. It's the only Premier League game tomorrow morning.
They seem rather short, Arsenal, Mossy. $1.42, a draw $5, and Chelsea $6.
I saw Cole Palmer might be out.
right?
Okay.
Yeah. You'd still have Arsenal. Yeah. What did you say Arsenal were?
$1.42.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
We've got a heap of matches on Thursday that I won't go through. A lot of short price favourites there. Mm. Fulham. The closest priced one is Fulham. Oh, no, that's Sunday, $2 against Crystal Palace. So there's a heap on Thursday as well, Mossy, as you would know.
Yeah, midweek round. It's good fun. Yep. So get that pearl of wisdom ready for me, Daff.
NBA.
Well, Mossy, why isn't palindrome spelt the same way backwards?
Fair question.
I'll just leave you to think about that.
NBA playoffs from 9 o'clock this morning, Eastern Standard Time. Cleveland 1-0 up against Orlando, and then it's my Knicks against Philadelphia.
Yeah, a little bit of an overlap here. I'm not sure which one we get to see on TV, if we see one on TV. Cleveland $1.46, Orlando $2.80, 5.5 the line. Ditto New York v Philadelphia. The Knicks $1.46, Philadelphia $2.80, 5.5. And in the final match, Denver $1.34, the Lakers $3.40, and that line 7 points. You very rarely see this. I know we know the form coming in, etc. But normally these matches have moved a point or two come game day. That hasn't been the case here, but just looking at what we've done so far and given the dominance of those home sides yesterday, I'm tipping there's a lot of money going through the multis today, Jared. And we've got tomorrow's matches open as well. So it's full on in the NBA playoffs.
Sure is. And don't forget, Tab app customers. If you're a Tab customer, you can watch all the games.
Watch it all for nothing.
For nothing on your Tab app.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you, lads. Chat soon.
Jared Duffy's pearl of wisdom. Have you come to terms with it yet, Mossy?
Well, a palindrome, apparently. Yeah. Look, credit where credit's due, huh? Yeah. Mido explained it to Loz and I during the break.
Well,
palindrome
poorly,
is a word that is spelt the same backwards as it is forwards.
Correct.
Right?
Like,
correct.
As Loz, I'm sure this was a big one when you were learning in the local high school in June.
What was the first thing I said?
Like tumours.
Tumours.
You didn't say it with that pout.
and chest out.
That sense of pride. Mm. But yeah, no, clearly you can't spell palindrome backwards the same way you can forwards, even though the meaning of the word is
for that to tumult. Be the case. Yeah. Anyway, Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald. Good morning. How are you, mate?
Good morning, Mido. Morning, boys. Where does Daff come up with all this stuff? Does he have like a little book or something he goes to each week for his little pearls of wisdom? Or is it, I don't know. I'm just quite intrigued.
I don't know, Ads. I just brought it up, and maybe silly me. I brought it up because I follow him every Sunday morning on the weekend show, and I always feel more educated, I think.
And it was a question without notice, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
so he just went bang.
Just had it on the.
Do you have a palindrome, Matt? Have you got
level? That's a palindrome, isn't it?
Very good.
L-E-V-E-L.
Very well.
Yep, straight off the butt.
Straight out of his book.
Yep. Okay, let's talk some racing. And we've seen some very high-profile colts in the last 24 hours announced. Well, it's been announced that they are off to stud, which I guess is no great surprise, Adam.
No, it's not, Mido, and it usually happens pretty much every year around this time. So yesterday we started off with Shindo, the Golden Slipper winner from last year. Cornwall will stand him at stud next breeding season, so he's run his last race. And to be fair, I don't think he's ever really hit the heights during his three-year-old season after winning the Slipper. Just he's going to be another one of those horses that retires to stud, not winning another single race after winning the Slipper, but that's quite common for a lot of those colts. So he's done. Newgate announced yesterday that Militarize will be heading to stud as well. I think this one's probably the biggest loss for Australian racing because just the way our weight for age ranks are shaping up at the moment through that middle distance, he had a chance to potentially win many more Group 1s, but I can completely understand from a commercial point of view why Henry Field and the Newgate farm wanted to get him to stud now. So he'll obviously toddle off for the spring and be doing his business there. And then this morning, you know, we've heard from Godolphin or Dali that Cylinder's now been retired. He'll be standing at stud next season, as well as Golden Mile, the Caulfield Guineas winner from last year. So they're four pretty high-profile colts or three-year-olds to lose in the space of, well, the one season, I suppose. And we've got to hope that some of these two-year-olds coming through can turn into or furnish into some really nice three-year-olds next season and keep replenishing that stock because yeah, some big losses for the racetrack for punters and Australian racing fans.
Where's Amelia's Jewel heading off to race next?
Yeah, she's going to head to South Australia, Loz. So Simon Miller's made the call to say after that pretty good run in the clocker there in Perth on the weekend, he's going to float her across or get her across to Adelaide to run in the Goodwood. So she'll take on the boys in the Group 1 sprint over there. But with the addition of Blinkers, which is going to be really crucial for her, I'm still not convinced that 1,200 metres is her best distance. I think she's probably going to be a better horse over 1,400 metres to a mile. But while the races are there for at the moment, I can understand why they're trying to target a big Group 1 over 1,200 metres. So she'll tackle the Goodwood in South Australia. Certainly add a fair bit of publicity and hype to the Adelaide Carnival, and we wish her all the best. So I thought she was pretty good there in the clocker on the weekend, but obviously couldn't run down overpass.
And adds hot on the heels of Winx's first foal making headlines. We're going to see a Winx film hitting the screens.
Yeah, not too many horse racing films we see, Mossy, but it was announced yesterday that there's going to be a movie made about Winx. So keen to see what it's going to be like. I suppose we've had some movies made in the past about, well, I suppose, Michelle Payne, obviously winning the Melbourne Cup, Damien Oliver with all the emotions surrounding Media Puzzle and his brother Jason's death many, many years ago. So it's quite a rare market to get into for horse racing, but they've found one. So she's going to be the star of that film. It's going to be narrated by Andrew Rule, the journalist who wrote the book about Winx as well. So not quite sure when the release date's going to be, but I'm sure they'll be hitting screens fairly soon in the next few months. So, yeah, keen to see what that film comes up for Winx.
Epic blow for Newcastle into rugby league news. Calen Ponga. Oh, geez, long odds probably to even be seen again for the rest of the season at all, Adam, but this just pretty much ends the night season.
Oh, it's going to be hard for a minnow, isn't it, really, to turn it around after a pretty lacklustre start to the year, now without their best player for a minimum of 3 months. So I'm not quite sure where they go. It's probably gives them a good opportunity for Adam O'Brien and his assistant coaches up there to try and tinker with the style of play they have up there, because obviously without Calen, they're going to have to try and find some different points of attack on the field to be able to break teams down. And you just go back to a couple of those games early in the year. I know we're still only very relatively early in the season at the moment, but they dominated that game against the Cowboys and lost in Golden Point. I thought they had every chance to beat the Roosters on that Thursday night game up there a couple of weeks ago. They didn't do it. And then all of a sudden, you have something like this happen to their best player. And you start thinking, well, where are their wins going to come from? Yeah, it's going to be hard. Listen, I think if Newcastle somehow stay in finals contention when Calen's due back, I think he'll be back on the park. But I'd imagine they won't be taking any risks with him whatsoever towards the back end of the year if they can't make the finals.
Thank you, Adam.
See you, boys. Mate. We'll chat later in the week. Adam.